Marvelicious Toys is brought to you in part by Dorkside Toys. At DorksideToys.com, you can get the latest Marvel toys, as well as Star Wars, G.I. Joe, The Walking Dead, and more. Run by toy fans, you can be assured your order will be given great attention and packed with care. Sign up to their social channels now for stock alerts, reviews, and toy and movie news. DorksideToys.com. You'd be a dork not to shop there. Welcome to Marvelicious Toys, hosted by Justin and his amazing friends, Arnie and Marjorie. We bring you news and reviews of Marvel toys, statues, and more, because not all Marvel collections can be bagged and boarded. They're not just toys, they're Marvelicious.
Hello and welcome to issue 115 of Marvelicious Toys. I'm Marjorie.
I'm Arnie.
And this is Jeff. Justin. I'm Justin. How are you?
You're back? I didn't know if you were coming back.
I missed you.
I missed you guys.
Well, we do want to thank Jerry for doing a marvelous job stepping in and filling your shoes while we looked at figures that you wouldn't even touch.
Is that why my shoes smelled weird?
I gotta ask. Did you walk away from that show with a better appreciation for those Cap figures you'd skipped? Because they're not bad, and I know you collected Avengers. They're a continuation of that style.
Well, I tell you what. I have appreciated some of them. I appreciated the Red Skull for the reasons that we talked about with the previous Red Skull, where it's like he doesn't need all that articulation. As long as it's a cool sculpt and he's got a cool trench coat on, hey, it's a Red Skull. And Falcon, I think Falcon's a fine figure. You know, probably could use a little more articulation to take them over the top. The rest of them, like, you guys were talking about some of those Cap figures like they were new, but, you know, one was just the Avengers Cap figure that we've gotten before, and the other one was from the original Cap movie that they put out in the Avengers line. Remember the Star-Spangled one that you were talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
And how it ended up being his uniform that he wore, that he took from the Smithsonian?
Mm-hmm.
That figure came out in the Avengers line, remember, with the rare... maskless variant. That's the same exact figure.
Oh, okay, well.
This is why you need me when you're reviewing these crap figures. But no, I mean, all in all, I agree with what you guys said. You know, if there's a 3¾-inch version of a movie figure, I'm probably going to pick it up. I disagree a little bit on that movie version of the Shield gear. That one's a mess. That head is so bad and his hips are so wide. He's just not worth owning.
And we mentioned that.
You did.
But you really could take that body and then do some swapping around. It does look nothing like Chris Evans.
Whoa. Barely even looks human. But you know what you did do? You made me interested in one of those Spider-Man figures. I kind of want the one with the helmet and the wings.
That's funny because Jerry posted to the Marvelicious Toys Facebook page that his son wanted web-winged Spider-Man too. We have apparently started a cult movement for that crazy-ass Spider-Man.
Jerry said something that I think is probably more true than Hasbro realizes, though. If they just took that super-articulated Spider-Man that they put out for the first movie and repainted them all kind of silly ways, kind of like the Andy Warhol thing he was talking about, I think that would sell. I would buy at least a couple different wacky color versions of Spider-Man, more so than, you know, gauntlet arm Spider-Man. Even though that one kind of reminded me of Savage Land, like Spider-Man and a Silver Surfer. It's kind of feel they had going on there. But yeah, I'm glad you guys took the bullet on that one and I didn't have to go out and get those overpriced Spider-Man figures.
Marjorie and I went down to Wizard World.
We did.
St. Louis.
Yeah, you have to specify because there's like 80 of them this year.
Every con is Wizard World unless otherwise stated.
There's one in our backyard next week.
Wizard World Marvelicious.
There you go.
There was quite a bit going on down there. It was a pretty fun time. Not a lot of shopping. It was a really, really small floor.
Again, backyard.
I didn't buy any toys. Everything felt a little bit overpriced. I did see Infinite Series figures there at, you know, 20 a figure.
Yikes.
Wasp was 40.
Is this the first Wizard World of the season, though?
No, it's like the third or fourth.
Yeah, they already did Louisville just a couple weeks ago that we know some people who went to.
Wow.
I did get a couple of cool sketches. Arthur Sydam, who was the artist on Marvel Zombies and early issues of The Walking Dead, it was the weekend Cap came out, so I had him draw me a zombie Captain America on a sketch cover, and it was awesome. There's birds nesting in his brain.
He put a bird on it.
Put a bird on it. It's great.
And then I also got a chance to meet sketch card artist Chris Hamer. He's done a couple Star Wars decks, and he's going to be doing an upcoming Marvel deck. And he had this really kick-ass Avengers cover that was just really funny looking that I picked up. He has this really kind of quirky style, the mismatched eyes and that kind of thing, the angular faces.
I loved his stuff.
Yeah, I think Marjorie's going to be getting a commission from him at C2E2. So not a great time, but there was one memorable moment, and it involves Lou Ferrigno and me.
I was not there for this.
Now, years ago, I got Lou Ferrigno's autograph at a Wizard World on my Hulk DVD, and I went up to him, and it was $20 for the autograph, and then he said if I bought his book, I'd get a free autograph. And I think what he's saying is he'd sign the DVD for free if I bought his book. And I'm like, yeah, I'll just get the autograph. And then talk to him for a couple minutes, and he was doing the hard sell on the book. And so I bought the book after paying for the autograph. And then I'm like, and you're going to sign it? Oh, to sign the book's another $20. I'm like, wait, I thought I got a free autograph. All right, forget it, Lou. You're the Hulk. Thank you for the book. Thank you for the autograph. Enjoy my $50. I'm going to go on my way. And this has been my long-lasting memory of Lou Ferrigno.
The book is horrible.
Book I did a Books and Nachos review of. You can go to booksandnachos.com and hear my review of his autobiography. I'll just say I don't think he had a ghostwriter, so props to him. Well, I then went through this period where I purged every DVD I owned, thinking everything's going to come out on Blu-ray. And then I realized, no, that's not going to happen. But I had sold my autographed Lou Ferrigno DVD. And then bought the movies back when we reviewed them on Now Playing. And I'm like, damn it, I sold my Lou Ferrigno autograph. I want my Lou Ferrigno autograph. So I'm at Wizard World, and Lou has no line at all.
That's because he goes to every convention.
Yeah, he's at like 5 more Wizard Worlds coming up.
Next week, in a matter of fact.
So I ask the person, because I don't want to ask Lou. I don't want to be rude. But I'm like, how much is Mr. Ferrigno's autograph?
Mr. Ferrigno.
Well, I'm trying to be polite here. I don't know him. I can't call him Lou. I'm not Kevin James. And she goes, it's $40 and you can pick one of the items on the table. $40. He's doubled his price in the past few years. All right, I'll do it. So I pull out my DVD. I go, hello, sir. There was no waiting. I'd like this sign. $60.
What?
So I'm like, she said it's 40. No, it's 40 on one of the items on the table. You bring your own item, it's 60. And so I just like, I'm looking at him dumbfounded, and I'm like, forget it. I actually reach for my DVD to put it back in the bag. I'm like, no, I am not paying $60. That is crazy. He goes, all right, I'll do 40 if I write your name on it so you don't resell it.
Who's reselling Lou Ferrigno's autographs?
Arnie is. He already did.
But not like that. I'm not like this
autographing.
Oh, scalper. I think I lost money on the deal, especially when you count that book. I think I got like 15 for the disc with the autograph. So for $40, I got my autograph. I haggled with Lou Ferrigno.
Which I'm sure is hilarious in and of itself.
Well, then, if you wanted your photo with Lou, it was $40. I almost thought this episode should be called Arnie versus Lou, and I'd pay the $40 for the cover if he'd, like, put up his fist like we're about to fight.
That'd be worth $40.
It would be.
But then I was afraid I might find out it's really $80, so I didn't ask.
Oh, if you want to pose, that's $200. If you want me to smile, that's $300. If you want me to face the camera, that's another $50.
But looking forward to C2E2, which is in 2 days.
Are you ready?
I can't make it.
You need to come sometime.
I know. Next year, when I'm not just freshly unpacking everything I own.
Well, now that you're back on the show, it's been a while. I mean, our last show came out after Captain America hit theaters, but we recorded it beforehand. Now we've all seen The Winter Soldier. You can hear my review at nowplayingpodcast.com, but Marjorie, Justin, what did you guys think?
Oh my god, I think it might be the best Marvel movie ever.
You know, that sounds like a bold statement, but I don't think that's too wacky.
It's not, is it?
It was a really, really good film.
It was well done. It had action from beginning to end. The story wasn't stupid. There was suspense. Chris Evans learned how to act. Come on, it's great.
He certainly did. When did that happen?
I don't know. I mean, he did a really good job, and I was first in line ripping on him for being Johnny Storm and Captain America, and, you know, his biggest scene up until then was putting whipped cream on his junk.
Excuse me, he rocked in Scott Pilgrim.
Yes, okay. He did. Yes, he did. But you know what? My one regret is that I did succumb, and I watched that first 10 minutes that they put out on the internet before seeing the movie. And, you know, you get all excited to see a movie and you sit down and then, like, you're like, oh, wait, I've already seen this first 10 minutes. It kind of takes the air out of it, you know?
Don't do that, Justin.
I know. I really
should. I don't like to watch scenes. I like to watch trailers, but I don't watch scenes if I'm going to watch the movie.
Jeez, it was literally the first 10 minutes. Like, right after the Marvel logo came off the screen to they getting off that ship. It was like, wow, they really gave this away.
But that's such a small portion of the film.
So my question with Cap, being a collector first and then a movie fan second, I guess, is what is the deal with the shields? Like, the first thing we saw concerning this movie was last year at Comic-Con, and it was a Captain America shield that was very definitely missing the red. And that was never really explained other than the fact that it's probably a shield that goes with him when he's in his shield outfit. But then does it keep changing colors? Does he have more than one shield?
I think I have an out-of-universe explanation.
All right.
I think that the movie makers were going with there's multiple shields, or he repainted the shield to go with his outfit or something. But somewhere along the lines, someone said, hey, you know, we said in the last movie there's just enough vibranium in the world for one shield. You know, you have this little bit of vibranium. Let's make a shield out of it. All we have, we turn it into a shield.
But he never had time to repaint it. And to be honest with you, like, I feel like the shield is kind of the thing that they don't want to talk too much about, because, like, there's scenes where he's driving on his motorcycle and he does not have the shield with him. And the next thing you know, the shield comes to him. You know, he has it. And when he went home to find Nick Fury in his apartment, he didn't have a shield with him. He must have an extra shield at home.
I think he only has one shield. And what I bet they did, though, is in post-production, decide that the red, white, and blue on the shield is too iconic. I think they were trying to sap him of all his color when he was in his strike outfit. And I bet that if you could find on the set photos, that shield was blue and white at that point, just like what we saw at Comic-Con, just like the prop replica being made, just like the toy has. But in post-production, somebody went and CGI'd it, because he has one shield this whole movie, and it's red, white, and blue. And it gets beat up, and more paint falls away, but it is the red, white, and blue shield this whole movie. So I feel like I saw Hot Toys, they came out with six different shields. I'm like, nah, just two, please. Just two. I was watching, the second time I saw this movie in theaters, all I was paying attention to was the shield. I'm like, where is this blue, white shield? It is not in that movie.
That's absolutely crazy. What the movie really did is made me think they missed some opportunities for the 6-inch line. Forget about the 3 3/4-inch line. We need a Falcon in 6-inch figure.
Oh, don't worry. I'm sure they'll show us one at Comic-Con. They never sell it.
You can get him with Trevor. You know, but instead of having three versions of Cap, I understand Cap wore a couple different outfits, but you know what? Take one of those that we already had before, the World War II Cap, which wasn't accurate to the movie anyway, and give me Chris Evans in his members only in jeans jacket, you know? I mean, or hey, remember when Hasbro showed Batroc the Leaper in their booth as a comic character?
Yep.
Why not throw him in there? You already have the figure made, but
speaking of figures they had made, I was curious what you thought about my lost auction there.
You know? When I saw that somebody paid, was it $1,300? Is that what it finished at?
It was just shy. It was probably over that with shipping, yes.
Okay. For Phoenix Force 5 Cyclops figure, there was a little part of me that was like, oh, Well, that means there's at least two people on this planet that are more crazy than Arnie. And then my heart sank a little bit to find out that, nope, that number's only at least one other person crazier than Arnie, because Arnie was, in fact, one of the people bidding that son of a bitch up.
Yep. I'm at least happy that if I was going to lose, I made that other person pay a lot.
But I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, if you would have won that, that means they're announcing that figure is coming out in a wave pretty darn soon. Because like we mentioned, there's still this mysterious wave that's slated to come out that's not necessarily a movie wave of Marvel Legends that very well may be coming out in.
It's unlikely, though, because what they said was they were really trying to get that out around the time of the Avengers versus X-Men, when that would be relevant. And he doesn't wear that outfit anymore. He wore that outfit for just a few comics, and now it's so of the past, and yet wasn't around long enough to be worth it, that they said this is one of the figures they weren't going to make. That's why I tried to spend what I tried to spend.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, you justified it quite well. You know, if you were going to end up paying that much money to own a very much one-of-a-kind figure, that's pretty cool. I mean, you spend almost that much money on figures that aren't one-of-a-kind.
Well, instead of talking about figures that cost over $1,000, how about talking about Legends figures that cost less than $10 in
the Spectacular Store Report?
Justin, you are the one who turned me on to TJ Maxx. When we started doing this, I would never have gone to TJ Maxx.
That's because our TJ Maxx is crap.
But you found so many things, and then they opened a Ross store after you made me jealous that you had Ross. And I found myself going there this week because guess what? They've got the Rocket Raccoon wave of Marvel Legends for $7.99 a figure.
Holy cow. That's so awesome. And I'm glad you went and found those, because I was just thinking, you know, it's been a long time since I've been to a TJ Maxx to check out what they have. And sure enough, Arnie goes and he makes a discovery. And I think you actually found the whole wave or pretty darn close to it at yours.
No, I only found four of the figures. I know that people online, I was seeing the Punisher was showing up and several of the other figures. If I had found enough to build a Rocket Raccoon at $7.99 a figure, I'd have had a second Rocket Raccoon. But all I found was Jean Grey, Hawkeye, Scarlet Spider, and Captain America. And those were all the ones shipping with the Rocket Raccoon. But yeah, only one of them even had the Build-A-Figure piece. The rest just were from that case.
Right, because it's that mini Build-A-Figure where it only takes three figures to get them. So if you get Jean Grey, and I think it's Wrecker has another piece to the Rocket Raccoon figure, and then Black Panther was in that wave too to finish it off.
And I've seen online all of those figures found, Punisher, which I just would have bought for extra guns now that with Winter Soldier and everything.
No kidding.
But definitely check your discount stores for Legends. But what this tells me is exactly why they canceled all those other Legends. If these were rejected by stores and now they got to clearance them out in these closeout discount stores, that's why they didn't make more and why they've switched to the movie lines. I didn't realize it sold that bad.
Well, it could be a combination of selling bad and poor distribution. You know, that wave was barely ever seen at retail.
But that's, I think, because the previous wave never moved through and the retailers didn't order. Obviously, Hasbro was sitting on cases they would have loved to ship to retailers.
Right. But that also could be a little bit of Hasbro's fault, too, because all those figures we talked about were ones that you didn't need to get for a Build-A-Figure. If you look at Hasbro Toy Shop, you can just buy them. Like, the ones that people actually wanted, Jean Grey and the Black Panther, are gone off of Hasbro Toy Shop, but you can still get Wrecker, Scarlet Spider, Hawkeye's still up there, too. So maybe a little bit of a questionable wave assortment on their part.
Well, then I went a few doors down to Five Below, and I know you still don't have one of those, so you can just feel jealous about my finds.
I am jealous about Five Below. That's not fair.
I found Iron Man 3 All-Stars for $2.50 a figure, which is about what they're worth. Those are the five POA POS Iron Man figures.
Wait. Like the corn cob one? Those Iron Man figures?
That's the line, but I only found wave one.
Okay.
But then I loaded up on Wolverine figures. The movie line that was all comic figures, they had Silver Samurai, two Wolverines, and then the Hand Ninja.
Oh, right, right, right.
I now have an army of Hand Ninjas at $3 a figure.
This store's a little bit dangerous. Are you sure you really want one, Justin?
Yeah, but I can still say no to those figures.
I just picked up 5 Hand Ninjas because I felt like an army of Hand Ninjas was needed.
That's not too shabby. Better than the $12 you paid for them originally at Toys R Us.
And then I also picked up some G.I. Joe figures so my 3¾-inch Winter Soldier could have more guns.
Nice. They have G.I. Joe figures there, too?
The movie line. Yeah, $5 a figure.
And those are gone out of regular retail stores.
I need a 5 below.
But the biggest news that isn't stuff that didn't sell before and does have good articulation, the new collector-oriented Hasbro figures are hitting stores, specifically Targets, but also other retailers, the Marvel Infinite series.
Oh, yeah.
So let's take a look at the first wave of this new line of Hasbro figures. So we got 6 figures here to review. Well, all right, we've got 4 figures to review, but 6 figures.
Right, because the other two I think we've reviewed at least 2 or 3 times each.
Yeah, both of these have come out a lot, but I do want to just briefly touch on these 2 repacked figures. Captain America.
Let's be more specific, because we have seen versions of Cap quite a few times, but this is the most recent Marvel Universe Cap. But he's different from all the previous ones, because he's got the swivel cut hips and the different boots and all that stuff, so he's different from the 30 or 40 that came before him, but it's the most recent one that the MU put out.
So this is just the second time we've gotten him?
Yeah.
I remember him because he's very loosey-goosey in his joints.
Exactly. You guys were wobbling yours around because your torso was really loose.
Yeah, this one, I had a real hard time making him stand up. And something I didn't remember about the last one, but maybe it's the case, the shield, the little clasp that you put against his wrist, is made of rubber, and so it doesn't stay on worth anything. Every time you slide it onto his wrist, because it's rubber, it just stretches and then falls right off.
The C-clamp thing?
Yeah.
See, I didn't pick up this figure. I might, but really haven't had any reason to yet, so I don't know. But it seems like they've been cutting corners on some of these accessories lately, maybe using cheaper materials for parts of them. Because that's usually a hard plastic piece that snaps in there.
I know. I mean, I've posed and photographed so many Captain Americas with so many shields, including recently for last week's show, and they're always a hard plastic C-clamp that goes around the wrist. But this one is a soft rubber, and it doesn't pose well, it doesn't stay well. It's really hard to get this Captain America to stand at all, let alone with this shield in a way that looks heroic.
There's no way. It just doesn't sit on. It's too much of a malleable plastic, and it's got a pivot point, which makes it even worse. It's just like wrestling a wet noodle.
Does it have the pivot point so it can lay down and have that peg so it goes in the back of his back?
There is no peg hole on the back of him.
And there's no peg on the shield. You only have the C-clamp, so you can't just put it in his cupped hand. You have to wrap it around the wrist.
That's kind of disappointing.
Yeah, this is a really poor Cap in that regard, because he's not going to be able to hold a shield, and there's no place to store it. So I guess it's good, because it'll be lost soon.
Is your new Cap at least better than your previous one? Is he still loosey-goosey?
He's horribly loose.
He's not as loose, but there's so much articulation, and it is not as loose as the last one, but it's not tight, so that he constantly looks like he has some kind of bone disease. You know what I'm talking about, where he can't stand erect? It's
no, yeah, I see what you're saying. He's stricken with, like, late-stage osteoporosis.
He is really old. Hey, he was really happy in The Winter Soldier that polio had been cured, but that doesn't mean he was cured.
He's patient zero now. Thanks, Cap. You brought polio back with you.
So that figure, I mean, I understand now is a great time to have Captain America on the pegs, and it's a different line of figures. It's a much higher articulated Cap than we've had before. It's the most recent Cap, so it may be one you don't have.
It's more comic booky than anything else that they have out there right now, you know, so I don't need it. I don't mind seeing it on the pegs, though.
And then the other repacked figure is Iron Man, and this one we've gotten a ton.
An Iron Man? Wait!
No, this specific Iron Man, which armor is this? Is this the Extremis armor?
It's been called the Extremis armor. It's been called the Modular armor. We've gotten it in the Iron Man 2 6-inch Legends wave as well. Same version of this armor. Here they're just calling it Heroic Age Iron Man, right?
Yeah.
You know what? I have a special place in my heart for this figure because it was the first time that we got the new style of articulation in the Marvel Universe with the swivel cut thighs and the Vonner ankles and stuff like that. So I dig it for what it is historically, and it's not a horrible Iron Man.
No, it's actually a good figure if you don't already have four of them. It's a really good figure. It has a lot of articulation, and it does stand well. You can pose them in a number of different ways. But I've noticed mine is a little bit sloppy on the face paint this time.
It's also sloppy on the back paint.
Yeah, it's like the paint apps on these new figures, and I noticed it just a little bit with Cap, too, just aren't quite as crisp. So I don't know if it's maybe I just got a couple bad ones or if all of them are like this, but I'm not as impressed with just the clean paint application on this one. Fortunately, I have four more.
Yeah, I mean, he's got it on his legs too. It's just, I don't know, it kind of looks like it's wearing off in some spots, and then other parts it's spilled over.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at it, does it feel like it's the same paint as the previous ones? I mean, same cherry red metallic with the...
The torso is not a metallic red, whereas the legs and the arms are that metallic red that I kind of equate to fingernail polish type red. You know, that really high gloss.
Yeah, with the Flexa metal.
Mm-hmm. But the torso, both upper and bottom part, aren't as metallic. It's a clearly different red.
I'm going to have to take a closer look next time I see him at the store and see what the differences might be.
And you talk about accessories. I know Hasbro went through a lot of layoffs, but I certainly hope they put the person who came up with the Bugle Funnel translucent accessory and bought him a condo, because they have used this piece in so many Iron Mans.
What did you call it? The what?
It's like the Bugle. Have you ever eaten Bugle?
Yeah. It's like a chip.
It's like a Bugle.
It's like an ice tornado.
Is it blue this time?
It is blue.
Okay. Yeah, they can't make enough of those.
When I started collecting with Iron Man figures and I got my first one, I'm like, oh, that's kind of novel. Now I could actually probably build a small fort for my figures out of these funnels.
A fort?
If we ever figured out how to reverse engineer plastic back into petroleum...
I could fuel my car.
Oh my God, we would be millionaires, guys.
Still throwing the Bugle out there. Well, I guess, you know what? In a way, that's a good thing, because it's not like they put some weird new accessory that actually might make me want to get that figure, only in this one. You know, it's something I already have. It's a Bugle, I can ignore it.
And that's why I was wondering how much of a variant accessory collector you were, because the new rubber C-clamp on the Cap shield.
Yeah, see, not that far. If it was like a stand that looked like it came from the Hall of Armor or something, then I might consider getting it, but not a rubbery clamp. No way.
Well, I am going to remind our listeners, both of these repackaged figures are available at our sponsor, Dorkside Toys, for the new, even more reduced price of $4.99 per figure.
And well worth it at that price if you don't have them.
Even if you do, but you're a carded completionist, you want to get the back card art or something like that. I mean, that's less than you'll pay even at Target.
Yeah, let's talk about the cards before we get into the new figures, because I tell you what, I'm more impressed with these cards now that I have them in hand than I thought I would be.
Really?
They don't photograph as well as, you know, having something in your hand. But there's a little bit more going on here than I was expecting. From a 30,000 foot view, you know, I don't know how long these are going to be novel, because, you know, you take away the individual card art on the front and it gets a little boring pretty quick. But for this being the first wave and it feels fresh, I'm impressed with the little extra things they put on there. Like, they're doing the spot UV, so there's shiny parts on here like they did with the Marvel Legends. You know, look at the back. If you're holding one in your hand, the picture of the character is all nice and glossy up against a satin background, which I think, you know, makes the character pop off the back there.
Yeah, I think that looks really nice. See, I have this thing where, you know, new cards are kind of exciting for the first few months because they're different, it's easy to spot them, and it's kind of fun. But these are kind of like a Jeep. They're kind of utilitarian.
There's a few things that bug me about them. I agree that the Spot UV is nice, but other than the Marvel logo on the front, it's all on the back of the card. So when you're in the store, or if you display these carded, you're not seeing the majority of where they used that nice effect. And I just can see corners cut here. I mean, we came from the Marvel Universe line where every figure they put out had custom art on it that really drove home the origin of these characters and that comic book feel. And they always had great renditions of the characters. I really liked them. Here, you look at the front. What is it they're advertising? Avengers. You get the same four logos. You got the Thor hammer, the Cap star, Iron Man's helmet because he doesn't have a symbol, and Hulk's fist because he has even less than Iron Man.
You know, I agree with all of that, and I'm not saying these are my favorite cards. I'm not saying I like these more than the Marvel Universe, but I can kind of see where they're coming from. If this comes from the initiative at Hasbro that, look, we're going to separate things by collectors and kids, well, this falls on the collector side. You know, think about what's in the toy aisle right now. You have Infinite Series, and you have the Legends that are both Spider-Man and Captain America. And then, in between, you have the 5 points of articulation, barely carded figures. And then you have the kid-aimed ones that you reviewed last week, the Captain America and the Spider-Man figures, which are card art heavy. I mean, those just have things splashed all over them. You know, you can see the action feature right on the front. And the Spider-Man cards are way too big for 3 3/4 inch figures anyway. They're like double size. So I kind of like what they're doing here. It's like it hyper-focuses you when you're in the toy aisle to say, oh, there's what I'm looking for.
There, I'll agree. And I like that the focus is the figure. The figure is center. Because there's no art, you're looking at that figure.
Well, that's because they have also extended the bubble the full length of the card. I mean, it's right up on the edge.
Yeah, on two edges.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, it's right up to the edge, and they've got the little lip on the side. So if you had card art on this, it'd be lost. So this is very intentional, I think, along with the cost-cutting measure, because I'm sure it's easier to do a generic one side and then a unique second side.
And the card isn't as small as I'd feared when the pictures came out online. It's actually a little taller, but a little narrower than what we had before. But the fact that they just have the little name tags glue dotted inside the bubble, and that's the only thing they're changing on the front, it just feels a little bit lesser to me. It makes me glad I've never been a carded Marvel figure collector, because I like what's in this package, but displaying these in this package has no appeal to me.
Well, I kind of get the feeling that they're the little cheaper figures when you first take a first glance, because they usually have the generic front. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, mm-hmm. The little 5 point of articulation ones.
Yeah, and I think that's probably why they made sure to go bigger with them. But, you know, I can see all of that, and I can also see this being the cure to some people's carded collecting habits, you know, because we've talked about this before. It's not going to display nicely on a wall after a while when it's 30 of these all in a row and it's just the figures. Same problem that we talked about before on Star Wars Action News with their Black mm-hmm. Series. You know, get a Darth Vader on one of those cards and you can't see him.
That I will give this some credit for. When I opened it up and looked at the background, I like how it's a textured gray kind of blue color in the back, so that no matter what figure is there, it's really going to show up. I think it's a lesson learned from the Star Wars Black Series.
Yeah, it gave it a little bit of a gritty texture. They didn't splash the Hasbro logo up there. It's kind of small and in black and white down in the bottom left-hand corner. This was done with an eye towards design. Now, whether or not people like it personally or not, that's, you know, up to each individual person. But this wasn't just haphazardly thrown together, as I kind of felt like when we first saw images of it.
Well, I grabbed one of the Marvel Universe cards, because we have carded figures laying around the studio, which is going to...
This is why it's the Marvelicious Toys Studio.
Yes, because it literally is the toy studio. It's probably a good... Depending on where it is on the package, because the MU figures are... They have different shape packaging. It goes from about 1/4 inch to almost 1 inch difference in size in the width. And the new card is actually a good inch taller than the MU cards.
So the general surface area is approximately equivalent.
I'm guessing that, yes, without doing any scientific calculations. I'm guessing that's probably about the same area.
So yeah, in short, it's a much cleaner look that right now I feel looks fresh, but knowing 6 months from now, I'm probably going to be sick of looking at this and waiting for whatever's next.
I will grant you this, though, when you mentioned the Black Series, once Marjorie pulled out the MU product, this one looks higher end. It looks a little bit, because it's black with silver, it's completely in the coloring and the way that the Marvel logo is there, but it looks like they're trying to cater, yes, to a more adult audience, whereas the small ones being so colorful and having the character on it would definitely be something a kid's eye was drawn towards. Here, it's like they've said, forget it. We're not going to get the kids to buy $10 figures, so why even appeal?
Well, and all of that allows for the figure itself to speak more loudly, you know, because at the front of the card, it's red, and then it's monotone beyond that. It's black with a little bit of a bluish hue to it. There's not all these different colors that have to be present. You know, look at the front of a Marvel Universe figure, and you've got whatever the card art is, plus, you know, the blue Hasbro logo, and then the red Fury Files, or whatever it was at the time. There's a lot of colors going on the old MU. This strips all that down and says, hey, look at the figure.
Well, let's look at the figures. Because I was excited for this wave based upon figure selection. And not just the fact that it's been so long since we've had a real new wave of figures and not just a repacked wave of figures.
Very true. And I'm not seeing any numbering to these. This isn't wave one, series one. This isn't figure one.
No, there's nothing on here unique as far as a numbering system whatsoever on the front or the back. There's just the vague collect them all, which has pictures of all the items and, you know, their name, but there's no numbering or naming convention.
Yeah, so we're just going to go through them in whatever order we feel like.
Exactly.
And the one I was probably most excited for, just based on Hasbro's previous track record, was Hulk.
Yep.
When I got Hulk out of the package, though, I'll admit, a little bit of disappointment set in almost instantly. And I'm curious if you had the same experience, Justin.
Can I guess why? Is it because his wrist gauntlets fall right off?
Yes. His little... His bracelets, for lack of a better term. You call them wrist gauntlets? You're being too kind, sir. His dangly wrist bracelets pop off if you look at them. They're, again, this really rubbery substance, and if you look at them sideways, they fall right off his arm. More, they don't snap well onto his arm anywhere. They just kind of slide up and down the forearm.
Right. There's no set position for it. Like, I can't get it into a position where I'm like, yep, that's where it feels right.
They kind of go good above the elbow, however...
That's not where they go on the art, though. They gotta go below the elbow.
But that's where they fit. But they have the consistency of, like, a wet, heavy cardboard. They're not rubbery at all. It's papery.
Yeah, that was my first thought, is maybe I'm going to try to pick up another one of these and glue these s*****s on. Because it really detracts from an otherwise really good figure.
Yeah, other than that, once I just kind of got past that, and the fact that his chest mail is made of the same rubber, but it doesn't come off. You probably couldn't get it off without cutting it or something.
Oh, I don't know. It slips right off. Slips off like a vest.
Right, but I couldn't get it over his arms.
What? My Hulk is now without upper body armor.
Oh, yeah. What do you know?
Naked Hulk.
His belt, however, I don't think you're getting that off without cutting it.
No. And his boots are actually his legs, so...
Yeah, you can't take those off then.
I was curious if this was a reused Hulk sculpt, if they reused the body and just put a bunch of rubber on him, but that is not the case. He has sculpted new moon boots. They look like he wants to join KISS.
Ah, well, those aren't new. They're new to Hulk, but these are Apocalypse legs.
I wondered if they were Apocalypse. Dang it.
I think he has new hands, though. Like, because these gloves are sculpted on, they're not just painted.
They're those wonderfully classy no-finger gloves.
For when he's driving.
I hate those. No one wears those to drive!
Real men do. Where I'm really going to give this figure, though, some credit, is I talked about everything I don't necessarily like, but I think that the Apocalypse legs work really well to give this armor the look. And this head, when they came out with Marvel Now Hulk, they had given him this kind of crew cut. It was this new look for Hulk, and they've really captured that. They didn't just put some armor on him to be his new outfit. They went and gave us the head that really looks like Mark Waid's Hulk.
And a little bit like Ben Affleck.
I was going to go with Henry Rollins.
Oh, I can see that too. He's got Henry Rollins' haircut for sure. Yeah, I mean, he's got the cool crew cut going on and the grimace on his face. It's very well sculpted. And mine seems pretty clean, except for maybe a little bit of green got away in one of his eyes. But other than that, he looks pretty sharp.
Yeah, mine has no paint issues in that regard. He's also really well articulated, in got the midriff articulation, and the arms do really well. The legs, a little harder to move, but they're the big bulky legs, so you kind of expect that.
Yeah, the bigger size you have, the harder they are to move, just because they have to build the joints differently.
Yeah, I mean, he's got all the articulation. My particular one has a left ankle that seems to be a little bit stuck and doesn't want to go straight, but other than that, the articulation is there. And it's a nice wash on his boots. It looks like it's a silver plastic that they give a nice black wash to, so it gives it a nice worn metal look.
Yeah, that's something I think that this line we'll talk about, they did a pretty good job of, is some of the washes and things, and they did it to the accessories as well. And if you can get the wrist bracelets on and not touch them, they look like they match the rest of his armor.
But I hate how they make the pulleys and pivots in the figure. They don't make the part that goes into the brown. It's silver. So if you look at him from the back, he doesn't look good. It's like he's got silver stripes on his legs. That annoys me. It's just a little thing I've got.
Oh, yeah. The actual joint in his double hinge knee.
Yes.
Yep. I suppose they had to make a decision. Do we go with brown plastic or silver plastic? And it looks weird one way or the other.
Yeah.
Like it looks like brown going into his boot or silver going into his hips or thighs. If you look at the picture on the back of the card, whoever photographed Hulk really buttoned up his chest armor. Like, it's cinched up tight.
The one thing that I had trouble with when I was trying to pose him is he's got that strange neck that, like, goes out straight ahead.
It's because they didn't put it on the top of back of his shoulders.
Yeah, it's like a dog head. And I was trying to get Hulk to look a little bit differently, and I popped his head off by accident.
I'm trying to tell if this is supposed to be that double articulated neck or if it's just a neck post.
That's what I kept trying to do. And yeah, I kept thinking it might be double articulated. And that's when I popped the head off.
Ah.
I think it is a little bit double articulated in that it actually rotates from side to side. It just doesn't move any further back than the head post allows.
Right. With his head on there, you don't really notice it that much, though.
No. He's just got the roid rage neck.
Let me ask you this. Are Hulk's on yours, are his arms a little bit shinier and darker green than the rest of his body and abdomen?
Yes.
All right. There's a minor ding right there, Hasbro. Use the same plastic throughout. But it's really not that noticeable once you have his armor on. It only becomes noticeable when you take that off.
So, no, overall, though, it's a pretty good figure. I'm just bummed by this rubbery accessory bit. They should have found a better way to do it.
Yeah. You can take them off and then make a nice neck brace. You can pop it right on the back of his neck.
I really feel like I need to buy a second one of these because I'm going to lose these bracelets.
I know, but they're getting glued on, I'll tell you that.
Now, the next figure, an Avengers villain, which kind of ties back to when we thought this was just going to be an Avengers line, Grim Reaper.
Marvel's Grim Reaper.
Yes, because there's many Grim Reapers. I prefer Bill and Ted's.
So, if he's Marvel's Grim Reaper, he's not really doing much to distinguish himself from other Grim Reapers, as he is dressed in mostly black with a skull and crossbones on his shirt and a scythe. So, how is he different?
Well, he's really taking this job seriously. He's cut off his arm and attached his scythe to him permanently.
I see that, but I really think other Grim Reapers are just as dedicated. Although he does have a purple cape, which makes him fun. He's a big hit with the ladies.
Well, yeah, as far as characters go, he's pretty standard villain fare. You know, bodysuit with some sort of logo on it and a cape.
Yeah, and being evil, having the skull and crossbones there. But what does set him apart is his metal weapon hand. Here we have the scythe. I have to ask, Justin, does your scythe have a little, like, notch taken out of it at the tip?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so it's not just mine.
No, but it definitely looks like it shouldn't be there. It looks like it's an error. Odd.
Yeah, I wanted to be sure that it just wasn't something that where mine got torn. Because this scythe, again, here's something I'm going to say about this whole Infinite Series line, including the repackaged figures. They're going cheap rubber on a lot of things where I think they used to go hard plastic. And this scythe is one of these cases where it is... Mine is a little bit warped. It's not a straight scythe. It kind of curves because it's this rubber.
But those are problematic anyway. Anything with soft rubber... How many times have you gotten a bent lightsaber in a Star Wars figure?
And I don't like that. Yes.
My question for you is can you turn his arm with the scythe at all? Or is it just always in that same position? Or it's his bicep that twists?
You know, I have had some little bit of playing with this. And his bicep definitely twists all the way around. And I can't tell if the scythe should twist in its metal base.
Right, or if I'm just twisting the rubber and it's going to eventually snap off.
I don't know that either. I was doing the exact same thing. It does not twist easily. The best way, if you want to position that, is to do it at the bicep.
Which makes it look a little bit weird, but okay.
Yeah, because having a forearm that's a scythe is completely normal otherwise.
I don't recognize this cape from any other characters. I think we have a new cape here. You know, with the little mock turtleneck gathering up around his neck. That doesn't look familiar to me from any other characters.
I don't think anybody else has that cape. I think you're right. I've got a little bit of a cape problem because I like to nitpick on the capes. And this appears like he's got like a cowl neck cape, which is... Maybe his neck gets cold. I don't know. You definitely can't take it off without breaking off his little wannabe Galactus ears.
As far as the figure itself goes, we're dealing with the standard Marvel Universe body here. You know, you got all that articulation in the calves, the ankles, double hinge knees, hips, his waist turns, his torso turns, all that good stuff, making him one of those standard figures that, you know, if you have a good one, may or may not stand.
I had a little trouble getting him to stand, but not too bad. Not cap bad.
Right.
The one thing that I'll nitpick is I agree, this is a standard figure, which is a good figure. I mean, that standard equals good when dealing with the high-end Marvel line.
Yep.
But where I'm going to nitpick is his sleeves and his jockey shorts. What are those, boxer briefs?
Jockey shorts?
And his boots. Those three areas, sleeve, boxer brief, and boots, are all black. But torso and thighs are navy.
Well, they have a spray of blue on the black plastic that seems to have been done before he was assembled. Because it's definitely not on his knees. It cuts off right where his knee hits and right where his hips go into that upper piece. There's absolutely no blue paint on those.
And it's not on the back of his legs. It's not on the back of his thighs.
It's a little distracting, and you can kind of start to see the chain gang approach to making these figures when looking at this guy.
Well, I have a question. Is it possible that they half-assed attempted to do, like, a comic wash on it, like, to match the comic colors?
This is a pretty standard attempt to, you know, highlight black. I mean, they do it on the printed page. They've done it with figures in the past. It's just on this particular one, they didn't do it well. They half-assed it. And the way his cross and skull hit on his chest kind of makes mine look like the skull is cross-eyed a little bit.
Yeah.
It looks like I painted it. I'm going to be honest. It's poorly applied. It's like they had a stencil and they put too much paint on it and it seeped under the stencil.
Yeah.
And I can see some black through it. It's like it was really hard to paint in the pecs. But still, it's a character we've not gotten at all. It's a good buck. I'm nitpicking a little bit, but I think it looks pretty good.
Yeah, that's a great assessment. I feel like we nitpicked him a little too hard because, honestly, it's just as good as any other Marvel Universe figure that we've gotten in the past. And I'm not upset about paying $10 for him.
Not in the least. One who I'm not quite as fond of is probably Hyperion.
Interesting.
That primarily comes down to his cape having the same problem as Hulk's bracelets. I can't keep this cape on, and it off-balances him to such a degree that I almost have to lean him forward to stand.
Yeah, he's getting the glue treatment as well. I'm going to call this a super glue wave.
I've thought that. I immediately thought a dab of super glue on those pegs would help Hyperion so much. You need super glue, and you need figure stands. You have those, and you're golden.
Because let's be honest, Hyperion doesn't need to remove his cape. You know? So let's just keep it on there. And if you really want one without a cape, buy an extra one and pose him without the cape. But I think super glue would go a long way on this guy.
Beyond that, I just think the red they used for him is a little bit of a plasticky red.
I can see that. And it also gave him a little bit of a tricky paint app up where his neckline is, because that flesh tone depth does not match the rest of his skin. It's kind of the red blood through, and at least on mine, it's really pink as opposed to flesh tone.
It's like he's got a sunburn a little under there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the third thing, and this is just perhaps a comic-inspired choice, is the gold in the plastics they used, it makes him look like he's wearing a boxing championship belt.
I never thought about that. Yep.
It's got the rivets.
But, hey, you know what? That's true to the character, and I gotta hand it to them. They actually sculpted that on there unique to this figure, rather than just doing a paint on it, which they could have done. That's actually sculpted on there. The rivets are, you can feel them. You can feel where that gold part ends. So, you know, in a line that we've kind of been dinging them for cutting corners, here's a corner they could have very easily cut and they didn't. So I'll give them props for at least sculpting that on there.
That's true. Very true. And it is true to the comic design. It just, when I'm photographing the figure, I'm like, and the champion still reigning by TKO, Hyperion!
And imagine how difficult it is to get into that thing in the morning.
It's like a chastity belt.
How does he pee?
Once a day.
Astronaut
that's
diapers.
It.
And my last issue with him, and it's just a problem with him, is he has that head, at least on mine, I can't get him to look straight. It's like from the torso, the neck is a little bit down. And so already I have to lean him forward ever so slightly to stand with the cape. And then his head doesn't go up where he could offset that and be looking straight ahead.
It's like they put the neck on the wrong part of the shoulders on all of these.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. If you mess with the head a little bit, there is that articulation in there where you can get it to go back and up and kind of level it out. He can do the funky chicken, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I still wasn't able to get him, though, to, with the cape on, really look forward. The best thing is that mine has the pupils painted near the top, so it's like he's looking out the top of his eyes, like he's intentionally head down looking up.
I wonder if that's on purpose, because mine's like that too.
But it sounds like you don't have the problems with this figure I have, as far as with your overall judging.
No more than I have had with the bigger figure buck in this line anyway. You know, I mean, I've never been a huge fan of the arms on these figures when you get that upper torso that's bigger. Because you can never put his arms down at a relaxed pose. It's always the Superman fists on his hips pose.
And with his arms up when I was posing him, because of the hands they used, it constantly looks like he was supposed to come with perhaps a street lamp or something he was supposed to wield as a weapon. Because no matter how you pose his arms, because his hands are in that position, it's like he's holding an invisible cello.
He's got really big hands, though. I mean, they're in scale.
And you know what that means.
Wear big gloves.
That's right. Isotoner has a special glove in his size. But, I mean, the nitpicks I would have beyond the ones you brought up are, you know, he has the Captain America pirate boots. And mine seems to be ill-fitted. Like, the peg from his upper calf going into the boot doesn't want to go all the way in, so I can see a little gap in there.
Yep, definitely. Mine too.
But other than that, you know, as far as a figure goes, and here, once again, it's a character we have not gotten in this scale before, so, all right, notch that off the list of ones people might want.
I just wish he was a little bit more well-balanced with the cape, and it's just the result of using the standard buck and then using a very heavy cape that has it's the first time I think we've seen the double peg hole cape holder. It's because it is the one shoulder cape.
Yeah.
They should have put the peg hole on the top of his shoulder, though.
Yeah.
Or higher up instead of, like, side by side. They should have moved it up so that you had gravity working with it. Because right now it's working against it.
Or even made the pegs on the cape long enough to go all the way into those holes. Like, I feel like one of them is barely in there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, this cape is Hyperion's cape. You know, this is a brand new piece. So at least they did that and not, you know, just found one that looks close enough. Because how many Thor capes do they have laying around that they probably were tempted to use?
Yeah, you're right. I've been hard on this figure because he me off in the photo studio. He really did. He and Cap were the bane. Hours taking 20 photos.
Ouch.
But when you look at it, I will give Hasbro some serious credit because they were true to the source material. You don't make a Hyperion without the rivets or with a double-shouldered cape. They made a figure that looks true to the comics, but more than any, I needed a magnetic stand on this guy.
And he's got a decent face sculpt, you know? I mean, there's some good hair going on there, and it looks like Hyperion should look, so...
But my favorite figure of the wave was a dark horse that I never expected to be this impressed by.
Nor I.
Yes, I'm talking about Janet Van Dyne herself, otherwise known as the Wasp.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it's a female character, and it's using that female buck that we've had a few times now, a real small one. I mean, the fairly good articulation, the double hinge knees, and...
Yeah, I mean, starting with, I think it was the X-23 is when we started getting this new female buck. And, you know, this is the first time I feel like it's worked out very well. You know, all the other ones have had capes or other things that have made it hard for them to stand or high heels that just didn't work out. Here she's wearing nice, sensible, flat shoes that allows her to stand up without a stand.
Well, she consulted the patron saint of sensible shoes, Justin.
Marjorie should consult that saint every once in a while.
Now, here's one thing that I was surprised by, because looking at it online, I just couldn't tell. But I was surprised that her wings were translucent. For whatever reason, I just thought they were going to be yellowish gold plastic.
I think the wings are the best part of her.
Those wings are what set her over the top. First of all, the translucence works so well, and they are so well sculpted with the little ridges or veins inside the wings. But what I never would have expected, especially after seeing winged figures like Darkhawk and Falcon, is her wings are fully articulated.
Yes.
They have little hinges. You can make them go back. They don't stay in the peg holes very well. And on mine, they're pretty tight. I think I got a... bend them a few times to loosen them, but you can have these things go straight back or forward, and they really have a nice bend to them. These are the best wings Hasbro's ever done on a Marvel figure.
These are really cool. I didn't realize they were doing that. I was playing with them, and I never tried to do that, but that's really cool.
I will agree with that statement. These are the best wings they have ever done in this line.
Yeah, not counting the 6-inch.
Right.
Yeah, in this scale, these are the best wings, and these are how I want to see every wing from now on is not, like, bifurcated down the arms and things like that, where it's basically like Spider-Man's armpit webbing, but articulated and attached. If it would stay in the peg hole a little bit better, that would be nice, but my way of posing them have been pluck the wings off like a mean school kid, bend them the way I want, then shove them back in. But yeah, the fact that we can have these wings going back on her and everything, that just makes for some really cool displays. This is one of those figures that you take one of those clear flying stands and use on, because she rocks in that way.
Yeah, and I'm tempted to want to glue her wings in, because not both of them, but one of them pops out real easy. But I feel like every time I put them in a position and then push on it, they're going to stay.
Yeah, they're not as bad as Hyperion's cape or Hulk's bracelets. And no. My fear would be, because the wings being translucent and thin are, again, rubbery, that I wouldn't be able to pose them. But because I really do have to pull them out, and the way I pose them is I actually move the peg instead of moving the wing on the peg.
Yeah.
If you had it really well glued, that would be the case. But my experience with super glue is a little bit of pressure and snap.
Very true. Now I'm digging the kind of simplistic paint apps that they went with here. You know, if you look at what she is, her whole body from the neck down is cast in black plastic, and then the only paint is this kind of, I don't want to say gold, but it's metallic. It's gold with kind of a greenishness to it.
It's almost like, it's not gold, it's almost like a yellow, like a dark yellow or something that's not gold. I guess I have to get the Pantone charts out, and we'd have to discuss it at length.
That's right. But I like that, you know, it's the patterns on her chest, and then they painted the bottom of her boots, which is cool.
Yeah, I couldn't believe they painted the bottom of her boots. That is such an impressive detail.
That is really cool.
And the inside of her palms.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even notice that. She's definitely the coolest figure on here, just because they gave her cool stuff.
Now, I'm also going to give some credit to her accessory being a repack. I mean, this is a repacked Wasp that came from that Ant-Man comic pack we got a while ago. And it's the little tiny shrunken down Wasp. And at first I was a little upset because they didn't give her a face. And she kind of looks like a mutant creature from Curse of the Fly from the 1960s or something. But then I noticed that, again, they painted the bottoms of her feet and the inside of her hands gold.
Wow.
But they could have just dot some eyes on there? I've got a Sharpie fine point. I can take care of that.
Geez, she's even got like a little bit of hair detail there. Like her hair is parted just slightly on the front.
Yeah. So yeah, they didn't give her a face, but I mean, for a reused accessory, they did pretty good with that detail. And really trying to make as much detail in that chest pattern on her outfit as they could.
Well, I like how her wings, even in her tiny bit, are still just a shimmery yellow, because they have a little shimmer to them.
Yeah, they match perfectly. Mm-hmm. Same plastic.
Because I'd expect the small one to be different because they'd cheap out on it, but I guess the cheap out was not putting a face on it.
So no, she has become my favorite figure, but I will say, don't freak out if you're trying to collect her, because right now, she's going for crazy money on eBay. I understand that, but she is shipping again in Wave 2, and then they're doing a Wave 1 revision one where she's going to ship 2 to a case. So everyone who's paying 40 or 50 bucks for her, hold off, because you're going to be weeping when you see her peg warming at Target the third time she ships.
People just got to slow their roll with these.
Yeah, I mean, that's the good news, bad news with this, I suppose, is that, yes, we're all going to have a chance to get the temporarily hard-to-find Wasp's figure. But what does that mean for Wave 2? Like, meaning that there's going to be a revision case already? I don't know. I feel like might be flooding it with some figures that we don't necessarily need out there again. But time will tell. I don't want to get negative on it yet. Because it's a good 2 per case ratio that they're putting out there, which I should have just done from the beginning.
But because she is hard to find, we actually are going to give one away. I was one of the lucky people to score one on Amazon when they had them on Amazon at retail, and I'm a Prime member, so I didn't even have to pay shipping. And so since I have 2 Wasps, I'm giving one to a listener.
If you want to win Wasp, what you need to do is follow us on Instagram and tag us in a photo of something from your Marvel collection. We are Marvelicious Toys on Instagram.
And I'll cover shipping in the U.S. I will make this contest worldwide, but if you're international, you're responsible for shipping costs. We're going to run this for 2 shows, so you have until May 9th to tag us. So by May 9th, tag us on Instagram in a picture and follow Marvelicious Toys on Instagram, and you can win this very hard-to-find Wasp figure.
And entertain us. We're not going to be judging on quality or quantity of pictures, but make them fun.
Well, we are going to be judging. We will judge you by your photos. It's not going to determine if you win, but we will judge you.
Yes. Very slight difference there.
It's going to be a random drawing on who wins. 1 entry per person, please. These are some good figures, and if you haven't had a chance getting these at Target, well, we'll tell you where to get them online in
Sales to Astonish.
Marvelicious Toys sponsor Dorkside Toys, as we mentioned, has the first wave of the Marvel Infinite series available right now. It ships in 24 hours, and they have reduced the price on this wave to $49.99. That's a great price, 6 figures, $50. If you want the individual figures, they're currently sold out on Wasp. I mentioned earlier they reduced the price on Captain America and Iron Man to $4.99. They have Grim Reaper, Hulk, and Hyperion, all for $7.99 per figure. That's less, again, than you will pay at retail, at Target. And if you want Wave 2, I've already pre-ordered this wave from Dorkside Toys. I mean, we've got Red She-Hulk, Beta Ray Bill, Steve Rogers, Whirlwind, the new bearded Thor, Yellow Jacket, and all right, another repacked Iron Man.
Yeah, there's some repacks in that case, but it's still a great wave coming up, and I'd say worthwhile.
Wave 2 is expected to ship really soon, it says in the second quarter, and they just put up for pre-order Wave 3 of the 3 3/4 inch Marvel Infinite series.
Yeah, it looks like another really good wave.
It's got Ares and Deathlok, who we knew were coming, plus two figures we thought were canceled, Valkyrie and Ant-Man. Those were announced Marvel Universe figures that had gone off into limbo. Great to see Hasbro getting those out. And then Omega Red, a carry-forward figure from the end of the MU line, and then Cyclops, and we don't know what Cyclops that is. I'd guess that it's a repacked Cyclops because they seem to be doing two repacks per wave.
I would venture to guess that Cyclops is probably going to be from that team pack we saw before they got canceled with Juggernaut and Emma Frost, so that's probably where he's coming from.
Well, Dorkside Toys has that entire wave available for pre-order right now, $59.99, or you can order individual figures. They have Valkyrie, Omega Red, Cyclops, Deathlok, and Ares all available for $12.99 each. The only one they don't have available singularly is that Ant-Man. And I'd had a save search on eBay for the Ant-Man Moon Knight pack ever since they announced that it had never come out. I'd been saving it on eBay in case it showed up in the UK or somewhere. Now I'm really glad we're getting that Ant-Man figure. Now also at Dorkside Toys, in addition, they have new Games of Thrones figures, Aliens, Predators, Star Wars Black Series 3¾-inch figures for the next wave, and something else that you can go ahead and order there, the Marvel Legends Guardians of the Galaxy are up for pre-order. I've got my pre-order in for all of those figures as soon as they come out. Picked up a second Rocket Raccoon for Marjorie.
Nice.
Yay!
Those are going to be here before you know it. They're saying the beginning of June, which means maybe even a week earlier.
They have free shipping at Dorkside Toys in the U.S. with orders over $99, or flat rate fast shipping for $5.99 on lesser orders. I've ordered from them several times now, and I can vouch that the stuff comes fast and well-packed. And thank you, Dorkside Toys, for supporting Marvelicious Toys.
As we support you back. Especially Arnie.
Then Sideshow Collectibles put up for order another premium format. Because they haven't put up enough premium formats lately.
No, they really are slow in putting those out, so I'm really shocked that this is happening.
But now it's a new character that can get re-released in a couple different paint schemes.
I actually don't think they can re-release this one. Jean Grey in her 90s outfit, that's pretty much the yellow and blue. They've already got the exclusive edition with two heads, so you can have her in her Saturday morning cartoon series head or her comic head. In the cartoon series, she had a ponytail, so you could tell her apart from the others.
Very true.
There's only one thing really weird about this Jean Grey premium format. I wonder if that sculptor is moonlighting at Kodo, because it's the exact same pose as the Bishojo Jean Grey.
Huh. Is it a famous pose for her?
I mean, it kind of is. It's a bit of the opening credits thing where she's using her telepathy and all that, but I just can't believe that it's pretty much the same. Now, Sideshow's using their standard X-Men base, so it'll match all my other X-Men premium formats, but that it's the fingers to the head, arm outstretched, hair flowing behind you, knee bent pose. It doesn't have the rockets and the Quinjet at the bottom, but it's the same pose.
Yeah, somebody cheated on their homework, I think.
It's like I'll get this premium format and it will look at the Bishojo and go, I will call you Mini Phoenix. But it's another nice looking piece, and the exclusive edition is still available as of this recording. So if you're going to pick that up, please use our link, and you can sign up for our Sales to Astonish newsletter to be alerted every time new Hot Toys, Sideshow, and more get released, as well as when we find great bargains. And then Sideshow also put up for pre-order the Amazing Spider-Man 2 Hot Toy.
That one looks pretty good. But again, you know, they've got to just work on the costume. It's not like they have to make a whole new body for it.
They use the same body for most of the Hot Toys. And this one has 30 points of articulation. I think there's a slender body, but there's standard bodies. I mean, if you go on eBay and look for Hot Toys parts, you find these bodies. But I do like the outfit from the new movie better than the last one. And this one comes loaded with accessories.
Six separate pairs of hands.
Craziness. What really made me buy instantly. Well, we had no doubt I wasn't going to. But what made me put a big smile on my face ordering instantly was their exclusive base that is Sideshow's exclusive here. And it's special painted, so it's got this blue webbing pattern on it. It's just really cool looking for the base.
It is pretty cool. It also comes with Peter Parker's vest, backpack, his stocking cap, and his scarf. So if you wanted to accessorize your Spider-Man as if he was experiencing the polar vortex, you could.
The key is we don't know how deep this line's going to go. Unlike Captain America, where they showed off all of them up front, and of course, Avengers, right now we know there's Spider-Man. Are they going to do Electro? Are they going to do a different Spider-Man with an unmasked head? Don't know yet. This is it for now. But then tomorrow, Sideshow's putting up another pre-order. I've been pretty in on their premium format lines lately, even getting the repainted Storm in the white outfit and the repainted Deadpool in the X-Force outfit. But we talked about it when Red Hulk went up for pre-order, this trio of Hulk colors. They said they were all coming in 2014. They didn't say they were all coming so soon. They just put Red Hulk up for pre-order like 2 weeks ago. Now comes Green Hulk. Same body, two new heads, one exclusive, one regular.
Well, the head is cheaper to retool.
Yeah, I know. Then it should be cheaper for me to buy, right?
Yes, theoretically. But I don't know. I guess you have to choose your Hulk or decide you're all in. But then again, now I'm kind of concerned because you draw the line at Green Hulk when you already have the Red Hulk, when you love Hulk, but it was okay for Storm and Deadpool. And you don't love Storm and Deadpool.
Hulk costs twice as much as Storm and Deadpool.
But you like him better. Arnie like Hulk better.
Yeah, Arnie like Hulk better.
Arnie like Hulk long time.
Since I was a very little boy, yes.
Arnie not like Deadpool a long time because he didn't exist.
I think the key is this pose they chose for the Hulk body. It's really unusual. It's hunched over and it's kind of caveman-y and things. It really seems to fit my image of Red Hulk, but you get all three. It is like they're swinging their arms down. It's a very strange thing. If they were just fist-raised Hulks, I might be going with it a little bit more. But they do some weird Hulk poses. I didn't like their comiquettes either, where it was all like they were standing on tiptoes. I get they were supposed to be landing, but it looked like they were all on tiptoes there, like Ballerina Hulk. I skipped all of those. This one, I wish that they'd let me get my Red Hulk and just ooh-ah drool and then buy Green Hulk instead of putting them up so quick, because I just paid the non-refundable deposit. I don't want to be paying $200 a month in flex pays on Hulks.
If you don't love it, don't buy it.
Even though there's an exclusive edition, I think I'm going to wait on this one and see if you're right and people get Hulked out. And
it's very possible.
And finally, just to close out with a couple bits of
this just in, news from the web!
Justin, you're not going to C2E2, but you're coming to Comic-Con, right?
Oh, yeah. If I'm not unpacked by Comic-Con, we've got problems.
Well, at Comic-Con, the first exclusive has been announced, and it's a first-time Marvel exclusive. And it's going to be a hard one to get.
Oh, you crazy Hallmark collectors.
Yes, Hallmark is coming out with their first Marvel Comic-Con exclusive. And having bought the Star Wars exclusives for the past couple years, and there's been DC exclusives the past couple years, those lines are usually capped within 5 minutes or less of the floor opening.
Yeah, it's really rough. And that was the one where I actually booked and ran from the door to the line and I did not make it.
And it is War Machine. My thinking is that they did do a repaint on this one. Normally, it seems like it's completely new sculpts, but this is looking a lot like their Iron Patriot Hallmark keepsake.
So wait, this is just the first time they've done an exclusive at a con for Marvel?
Yes.
Okay. It's not the first time they've done a Marvel keepsake.
No, this is just the first time it's been exclusive. Usually the Marvel ones, they don't sell anything at the Hallmark booth except the exclusive ornaments. So usually just buy the Marvel ones in July around the same time as Comic-Con at the Hallmark store. But this one you can only get at Comic-Con.
Such weird rules to what they do. I can't follow it.
I did just check, and this is just a repaint of the Iron Patriot. So maybe this one won't be as cray-cray to get.
All right.
Because it's an armor that was never actually seen in Iron Man 3 and an ornament that you already have. Who am I kidding? This thing's going to sell out in 5 minutes every day. And I've seen their exclusive ornaments go up over $100 or more on eBay.
Wow. What do they usually retail for when you're at the booth?
Whatever regular price is, like $25 to $35.
Yeah, it varies based on the ornament, but yeah, it's $25 to $35, which is why it sells out so quickly. It's not collectors, sadly. It's people seeing a 400% profit margin.
Ah, it's a scalper's dream.
But then I did get a little bit of good collecting news this week from Big Bad Toy Store. Now, back in January, I ordered the Medicom Mafex, or M-A-F-E-X, Amazing Spider-Man 2 figure.
Oh, yeah.
With the hyper-articulation from the new movie with detail, and I put in my pre-order, only to find out they were coming out with a deluxe version that had a ton of accessories, an interchangeable head, a back display, all of these things. And of course, no way to find that in the States. So then I find a Japanese e-tailer, and this was during my period where I wasn't eBaying. And so I placed an order with this Japanese e-tailer for about $120 for the DX version. So this is not a good story so far. It has a happy ending. I get an email from Big Bad Toy Store. It turns out they can't sell the non-DX version stateside. The DX version is a US exclusive. And so they had to cancel my non-DX order, but they converted it to a DX order. And while that was more expensive, they gave it to me for $5 less than they're selling it for. It lists for $87.99. They're selling it for $74.99. They gave it to everyone who pre-ordered the old version for $69.99.
Nice.
And then I was able to cancel my over $100 order with the Japanese e-tailer and just save a ton of money.
Which I think you're going to be happy that you saved once you get those ankles in your hand.
Yeah, that usually doesn't work out like that for you. What's going on?
The heater!
Yeah, he's turned the tides.
Oh my god, that means someone else is the cooler. We just got to figure out who it is and warn them.
I'm sure they know.
Whoever it is the person who won the Phoenix 5 Cyclops.
You won the auction and the curse.
Oh my god, maybe that's it. Maybe it's like some sort of Freaky Friday moment.
But yeah, if you want this Medicom Spider-Man, the Miracle Action Figure EX Spider-Man with all the accessories, the only place I've seen it for sale in the States is Big Bad Toy Store, and it is very cheap, even if you didn't get that extra $5 off at $74.99. So definitely check that out. So that is our show for this week. We will be back in 2 weeks after C2E2, and even more exciting, after Amazing Spider-Man has hit theaters.
I'm kind of excited about that. We're going to see it in the IMAX, which we have determined after multiple viewings of Captain America has the superior 3D in our area.
And Mondo, oh god, I had to go to eBay and pay the scalpers for the Mondo Captain America poster. Lost out on that one. It was in my cart, damn it!
Oh. It was in my cart too, so we were probably competing against each other and someone else got it.
Was that a set, or could you pick one or the other?
It was one or the other, and we were both going for the more common one, because the exclusive one sells out even faster.
Well, I was enjoying clicking back and forth on the Facebook picture, seeing the difference. It was like a little animation.
But I ended up going to eBay there. But Mondo is doing an Amazing Spider-Man poster. I'm sure it's a mini poster, but it is available to the Thursday night premiere IMAX showings only. So if you have an IMAX in your area and you like the Mondo art, the Spider-Man Mondo poster is looking pretty cool. So we're driving a couple hours round trip on Thursday night to see Amazing Spider-Man.
Very cool.
But if you see us at C2E2 and say hi to Marjorie, she'll have some Marvelicious swag we're giving away.
I will.
But we will be back in the studio in 2 weeks with a review of Kotobukiya's ArtFX Plus Hulk, who is totally getting Matt Damon because I spent 4 hours taking photos of him. He's standing right here. I feel like we're totally Lindsay Buckinghaming him. Come on, Hulk. Come on, Hulk. Give me the smile, Hulk. We'll talk to you next week, Hulk. Come on. There you go,
Hulk. All right. Hulk, all right.
I know you ain't mad, Hulk.
Hulk, okay. So all that and more on the next Marvelicious Toys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Marvelicious Toys. If you enjoyed this podcast, please help our show by leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes. There's even more Marvelicious content at our website, MarveliciousToys.com. At the site, you can see pictures of the products we discussed, find checklists for Marvel toys, talk and trade toys in the Marvelicious forums, and much more. It's all at MarveliciousToys.com. We want to hear your thoughts on Marvel collectibles. You can leave reports of your latest toy finds as well as product reviews on our voicemail at 803-MARVEL-4. That's 803-627-8354. Or email an MP3 or iPhone voice memo to show@MarveliciousToys.com. Marvelicious Toys is produced and edited by Arnie Carvalho. Marvelicious Podcast video enhancement by Andrew, Daryl, Josh, and Barrett. Marvelicious website design by Jason. Graphic design by Justin. Photo editing by Curtis and Jeff. Announcements by Brock. If you also like Star Wars collecting is covered at our other podcast, Star Wars Action News, which you can find at swactionnews.com. If you want to hear reviews of every movie ever based on Marvel Comics, check out those reviews and hundreds more on the Now Playing Podcast at nowplayingpodcast.com. Marvel Comics and all that the Marvel Multiverse contains are the intellectual property of Marvel Entertainment Incorporated, a subsidiary of the Walt Disney Company, and no infringement is intended. Marvelicious Toys is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2014, all rights reserved, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.
Damn, that wasn't an idle threat.
No, you hung up on me.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I was hitting record on call recorder.
You hit end call. That happens a lot.
I don't read. I just look at Reddit icons and push buttons.
I've had that happen so many times where somebody says, I'm record.
I'm a bit rusty. It's been a month. I have a special place in my heart for this figure because it was the first time that we got the new style of articulation in the Marvel Universe. Sorry.
Apparently it's in the cockles of your heart and rising right up to your throat.
Now I've got stuck in my head. Thank you. Just that easy.
The subcochlear region. Maybe even in the colon. We just don't know.
Folks, you know what? See, it's contagious.
It is. I still say it's a Henry Rollins Hulk.
I say you're a liar.
He's going to give a spoken word performance here soon.
Been living most our lives living in the scalper's paradise.
Yes, why don't we own that in, like, from Fiverr?
Credits thing where she's using her telepathy where she's using her telepathy and all that, but
so all that and more on the next Marvelicious Toys.
So glad to have you back. No one says that line quite like you, Jesse.
You gotta put a little bit of corn in it.